Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The word of God for the people of God. Now today, we begin walking through Ephesians. Why Ephesians? Well, I've always had a special place in my heart for this book. Every time I read it, I feel like a new Christian learning the mysteries of Christ all over again. I think it's a great book for young Christians. I think it's also a great book for older Christians, not just to remind us of these wonderful gifts that God has given us, but also to meditate on these wonders of Christ that Paul writes about. It's like looking at a starry sky or just marveling at the life of a newborn baby. We may never understand all of the intricacies about this creation that we marvel at, but meditating on it reminds us that we are creatures and God is the creator. And it does something to us. Well, in the same way, we as a church can meditate through Ephesians these next few months and marvel at the work of Christ in our lives. I think the best way to meditate and marvel is through memorization. Some of the greatest marveling moments in my time has been memorizing scripture. The great thing about memorizing the Bible is that you can meditate on the verses wherever you are. If you're driving to work, well, just remember a verse and meditate on it. If you're cooking dinner, well, just pull a verse out and start reciting it, thinking about it. If you're on your boat, maybe, you just pull out a verse and start reciting it. You can chew on it like, well, kind of like a cow chews on some cud. We take the word in, it's kind of like our grass, the bread of life, and we can chew on it, and if we memorize it, then whenever we want to, we can bring it back and chew on it, kind of like cud. Well, perhaps you don't have a Bible with you sometime. Well, you just chew on that cud. Perhaps your hands are busy doing something. Chew on the cud. Well, wherever you are, just chew on that cud. And that cud, kind of like a cow too, just makes you stronger. Chewing the cud fights a lot of the bad habits that we have as humans, like anger, resentment, addictions, and a bunch of other things. Why? Well, we're just too busy chewing to do a lot of these things. And when you chew, it becomes part of you, this Word of God. Well, I want to challenge Mount Hermon these next few months to come chew some cud with me. I want you to read Ephesians sometime this week and find a few verses, let's say five verses that you really like in Ephesians. It's going to be tough to find five bad verses. There are great verses throughout this book. You can go to chapter 4, a lot of great verses on the body of Christ. Chapter 6 has the armor of God. So just find something that you like, and these next few months we'll practice them, memorize them, encourage each other in whatever verses that they're memorizing. And in the end, by December, we'll all have five verses memorized. It reminds me of my grandfather up in Buffalo. He has been memorizing verses his whole life. And now as he's in the late stages of Alzheimer's, he has trouble remembering his children's names and his grandchildren's names. But if you start a verse, "This is the day that the Lord has made," He will finish it. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I want the Word of God in me so deep that even if I have troubles with my brain, it'll just come out. It'll flow out like a spring. Well, last week was my birthday, and I received a lot of gifts and cards, and I'm in the process of thanking everyone. I've had a hectic week since my birthday, so I apologize for that. But last Wednesday after choir practice, I got a gift from Emily Bain. And I thought, well, that's so kind of her to give me a gift. But then I opened it up. I've never owned something so light blue in my life. And just so you know, the carpet is not Carolina blue. Just so you know. Well, thank you, Emily. I guess I have needed a bathroom rug, so. No, I'm just kidding. But there are some gifts that you get that you just don't really know what to do with. But then there are some gifts that are exactly what you need. Maybe you didn't even know that you needed them. God is that kind of gift giver. He gives us gifts that we don't even know we need. Now, many of us memorized a verse when we were kids, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave," yes, he gave his son, his only son, "that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." God is the ultimate example of a gift giver. He gave his son. And in the process of giving his son to us, God lavished upon us all these other gifts having to do with the greatest gift of his son. This passage in Ephesians this morning, some say, lists about seven gifts. It depends on how you order them. I want to mention a few of them as time permits. In the very beginning, verse 3, notice what we're given in verse 3. Every spiritual blessing. Every spiritual blessing. How many spiritual blessings? A couple? Several? A lot? A million? A billion? More. Everything. If it was a trillion spiritual blessings, God took the time to give them all to us in Christ. We have every spiritual blessing. And let's not forget that. He has not held back anything to his children. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Of the innumerable blessings that God has given us, one great one is that he predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. Now, what does it take to be adopted? Well, you got to be an orphan, I imagine. I mean, some orphans, I guess the classical definition is that they've lost their parents through death. But there's many, many more, millions in the world, who have their parents alive, but for some reason, the parents are not in the picture, the parents don't want to be in the picture, the parents can't help, can't care for the children. These children become essentially orphans. It's like that in Haiti right now, where mothers are looking for people to care for their children because they just can't. In Russia, a lot of families abandon their children to orphanages for the government to take care of. These orphanages are flooded with these children who have been orphaned, essentially. They have no family. Well, God does, and Jesus did, tell us to care for the orphan, and let us remember them. During Paul's day, 2,000 years ago, many Romans would abandon their children, not to orphanages, but just to the cold, exposing them out there. And Christians, the first Christians, our ancestors, would rescue these orphans and adopt them as their own. Where did they get the idea to adopt these children? Well, from God, of course. Before any of us children of God adopted other children, God adopted us. We were orphans. Sin, our father, guilt, our mother, they abandoned us in our time of need. They were powerless to help us anyhow. Sin and guilt was our problem in the first place. But God saw us in need, and he rescued us from death. God is now our Father, lavishing upon us every spiritual blessing in Christ. Oh, what a great Father we have. But God had been planning this for quite a while. Ephesians says that he predestined us to be adopted. I know there was at least one Sunday school class this morning talking about the intricacies of predestination. And I wish I had been sitting in on it to hear what y'all talked about. But what we do know about predestination is that God predestined a family. He had planned to have a family. Now, some of y'all in this congregation may not have plan to have a family, but you were surprised one day. And others may have been planning to have a family all along, but the odd kids that you've had have been surprising you ever since. Well, God, he planned to have a family. And God wants you and continues to want you to be part of his family. He wants a bigger family. He has big plans for his great family. And he wants to adopt you into that family. Now, God also has some odd kids in his family. During business meetings and Bible studies, you might have met some of them. Maybe you are one of them. But the great thing is that God loves all his kids. The odd ones, the normal ones, the crazy ones and the boring ones, the confused ones and the ones who think they have it all together. God loves them all. Well, being adopted as children of God means that we are included in Christ. In verse 13, Paul says that we are included in Christ. Now this inclusion in Christ, it's one of these things that we can wonder about, these mysteries. What does it mean to be included in Christ? I think part of it means what we were talking about last Sunday, about how our story, we take our story and we enter into Christ's story. And Christ's story enters into our story. And the stories become enmeshed in one another. It's the beginning of a union with Christ, completed in eternity, when we will live with him forever and ever. But until then, God gives us a little foretaste of eternity in the promised Holy Spirit. And having the Holy Spirit within us confirms that all of the other promises of God are solid as a rock. They will come to fruition. The Spirit comes and makes his home in us, making us holy and blameless in God's sight. The Holy Spirit enables us to live holy lives and exercise God's gift. Essentially, the Holy Spirit is something like a conduit for every spiritual blessing in Christ. And don't forget, the Holy Spirit is God, very God, our God, Creator God, living within us and among us as a church. The Holy Spirit is here, right now. It's amazing, amazing that God loves us so much. And what do we do in light of all this? In light of all these gifts of love? Well, Paul, he couldn't help but praise God. To the praise of his glory, he says it over and over. In the first 14 verses of this letter, he falls into praise. To the praise of his glory, to the praise of his glory. And I pray that we may remember the gifts God has given us and spill over with praise every day to the praise of his glory. Well, I was visiting someone this week, and she was telling me a little bit about the history of Mount Hermon since she had come, and I really enjoyed talking with her. At one point, though, she had shared some difficult things in the history of Mount Hermon, and she looked at me and she said, "Rich, do you really believe Mount Hermon has a future?" And I said, "Well, I wouldn't have taken this position if I had thought that. I think there's a lot of hope here and a lot of great potential here in these walls among these people. I mean, just look at this text. Every spiritual blessing has been given to us. We have been adopted as children of God. We've been included in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit here. This is something that God had been planning for before the creation of the world. And do you think he will just abandon us? I don't think so. I think that he's so happy that all this came about. And God will continue to lead us even through the end. I would, though soon, not immediately, but I would like to eventually begin a serious conversation with Mount Hermon concerning strategic planning, but not until you get to know me, and not until I get to know you. We have some time, but I assure you that in order to practice these spiritual blessings, in order to reach the potential that we've been given, in order to do all this, we have to remember that we are heirs of all these gifts. And once we remember this, first things first, we need to praise our gift-giving God. Make that a habit of our lives, that his praises are always on our lips, to the praise of his glory. Now, God has gifted each of us a little differently, and I really do want to hear everyone's story of how God has gifted you and given you these lavish, unending, indescribable gifts. But I want to challenge you this morning, too. Consider blessing this congregation some Sunday morning, and sharing your testimony for us. We need help remembering the gifts of God in your life and in our lives. We're forgetful people, and we need some reminding. So consider that. Perhaps this morning you can't relate to the experiences that others have had being touched by this gift-giving God. Well, you can receive the gift right now, the gift of Christ. If you would like to make that decision this morning, I encourage you to come forward during this hymn of invitation. And perhaps you want to make it official that you are committed to this family called Mount Hermon through thick and thin. As we together sing the praises of his glory, well, I encourage you to come forward for membership. And if you have any other decisions this morning that you want to share with your family, I encourage you to come this morning. Let us pray. O gift-giving God, who gives greater gifts than we can even ask or imagine, we thank you. We thank you that you know us better than we know ourselves. We thank you that you are closer to us than we are even to ourselves. Lord, remind us of your gifts. Remind us through your Holy Spirit. May we lean on our gifts instead of our own power and our own understanding to live holy and blameless lives as you have called us to live. Lord, I ask that you touch the heart of each and every one of your children here in this room in a special way, that you give them a unique gift today, to encourage them and to propel them to that holy life. We pray all these things in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The hymn is hymn number 294, Let Others See Jesus in You. May we stand. While passing through this world of sin, and others your life shall view, be clean and pure without, within, let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story, be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Then live for Christ both day and night. Be faithful, be brave and true. and lead the lost to life and light. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you.